B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Boy, it sure has been an interesting week to be a gamer. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but we've been leading the headlines. Video games have been leading the headlines for the better part of 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about the way the news talks about video games. Welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, August 6, 2019. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in gaming and esports news from over at the news desk with Sarah Skopic. Plus, we'll check in with our social media followers. But we start today talking about video games and the media. The news has been all over video games, whether it's been the Fortnite World Cup, whether it's been Ninja's big move over to Mixer, or whether it's been the shootings, the tragic shootings in Dayton, Ohio, or El Paso. Video games have certainly led the headlines for the better part of 2 weeks now. And I really want to talk about this because this drives me crazy. The way that the news ends up talking about video games, and this is one of the main reasons that I wanted to start this show in the first place, is what I call the aquarium effect. They get up there and they go, oh, what are the kids doing with the video games? And they act, if they have context for video games, they act like they have none. And then, you know, it's just thrown out there for fodder to be made fun of, to be derided, or to be blamed for tragedy.
Well, and the big argument, you know, back in the day used to be, oh, well, as people become older and more people who are playing video games become editors, that this will change. But it's the same argument with race. Racism, right? Like old sure. races dying off is not going to all of a sudden eradicate racism. And right now what we're seeing is that there are people who may have context for video games, as you said,
right.
but they may either have a vested interest in taking an anti-gaming stance, or perhaps they work for an outlet that has a vested interest in taking a anti-gaming stance. But a lot of what you're seeing is a lot of really low-hanging fruit, straw man type stuff that's been going on. That's been really frustrating to listen to for the past week or so.
Well, because we've been dealing with it for the better part of 20 years, right? Like, this is such an old, tired scapegoat that politicians or the media trot out every time every time there's a gun related yeah. tragedy. Specifically, it seems like this conversation rolls back around. But I want to start, actually, I don't want to start with negativity. I actually want to start complimenting Fox News and the Daily Briefing with Dana Perino. They had Slasher on twice within the last 2 weeks.
You are not a fan of either one of those people.
I'm not a fan of anyone who I just said in that entire sentence. I'm not a big fan of Fox News. I'm not a fan of really any cable news. I'm not a big fan of Dana Perino, and I'm not a huge fan of Slasher, right? Like, I disagree regularly with Slasher, and I just have to compliment them for putting together two excellent segments that, you know, didn't try to deride video games.
Very
they
balanced.
Brought on Slasher, who said a lot of really good, smart, and accurate things, and I have to commend this outlet for being very fair with this story. So, you know, and it's twice now that he's appeared on her show, and I think that they did a very good job. But then, just the very next day, we had this segment that happened on Fox Business with Dr. Catherine Smerling.
But this has really invaded the family systems because it is so addictive. It is incredibly addictive. It has been likened to something like heroin.
Wow.
That is absurdly irresponsible.
Likened to heroin. Now, listen, we've gone out of our way to talk about the addictive quality of specifically loot boxes here mm-hmm. on this show and raised a lot of concerns and red flags about that kind of stuff. But to liken it to heroin, win.
You
I think
also
it's
can't
so irresponsible.
You can't overdose on video games.
No, I mean you can ruin your financial life and your stability. But you're right, you can't overdose on video games. And you know, we've got Sarah Skopic here preparing for the news. You work in the mental health field. I just kind of wanted to get your take on what Dr. Catherine Smerling has to say about Fortnite.
I mean, like you guys said, it's just very irresponsible and just overshooting it. When you liken it to something like that, all you're really doing is fear-mongering that really doesn't answer any questions and, to me, isn't going to actually put forth any changes that are either helpful or going to impact anything in this case. You're just going to cause scaremongering.
And you don't wind up with a honest conversation on the other side
Absolutely
of it either.
Absolutely not.
And you're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're talking about the recent rash of news stories about video games. And of course, we can't talk about this without talking about the pair of tragic shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. That happened over the weekend. And there has been no shortage of politicians to come out and point the finger at video games instead of wanting to have an honest conversation about what's going on.
Well, and what else is new? I mean, we've been hearing that song and dance since back in the 90s.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Like whether it was Mortal Kombat or Night Trap, whatever it is, we've been hearing that song and dance for years.
But that's the part of the thing that makes this absolutely ridiculous, because it's being trotted out as if this is some sort of new thing.
Yeah.
Is that like, oh, all these violent shootings have gone on in our country for the past few years now, and violent video games are to blame. Violent video games have been around since the 90s, and we're seeing this uptick now.
Yeah.
To make that correlation, first of all, is a logical fallacy before anything else, but it also just doesn't make sense. It's lazy, lazy science.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick also thinks that, you know, something has changed.
If I look at the common denominators as a 60-some-year-old father and grandfather myself, what's changed in this country? We've always had guns, we've always had evil, but what's changed where we see this rash of shooting? And I see a video game industry that teaches young people to kill.
Is that really all that's changed? Is that really all that changed?
No, you had a relaxation in gun laws.
Yes.
I would say there's that.
I mean, that to me is the very first thing that I would go to.
Yeah.
Is that, yes, gun laws have changed in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that guns are manufactured and marketed have changed within the last 20 years. And to kind of slough this off on video games is, I think, really unfair.
Well, how many countries have violent video games?
All of them.
Pretty much all of them.
Virtually, I mean, everywhere.
Australia has a bit of a different
sure.
policy. China definitely
sure.
has a very strict policy. But I mean, you know, I haven't actually seen the clip, but I've heard GOP Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy out there saying, well, this doesn't happen in Japan because Japan doesn't have video games.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is people, you know, have likened it to what goes on in Japan. And yeah, they don't have mass shootings over there. You know what they have? Really strict gun laws over
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly.
It's insane.
The president even weighed in on it earlier this week.
We must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence. We must stop or substantially reduce this, and it has to begin immediately.
Well, and this particular statement has raised a lot of red flags. It's led to, you know, video games are not to blame, the hashtag mm-hmm. on Twitter. That's been trending for a few solid days now. And there's been a very vocal backlash to the idea that video games are, you know, I don't think that anyone's not even saying that they're not even a contributing factor, but they're not the sole blame for events like this.
And that's what makes this whole thing so, you know, lazy and inaccurate and ignorant and, you know, all of the negative things you could think of, because it's not even a fair conversation. It's one thing to say, I think violent video games may be a part of a greater whole when we're talking about young people and we're talking about their exposure to violence. I think that is a fair part of that conversation.
Yes, absolutely.
But to all of a sudden completely erase the effect of the availability of guns, the lack of background checking, all the other stuff that goes into this, the prevalence of, you know, casual racism in our country, it's absolutely unfair to lay this at the, you know, at the foot of video games. It makes no sense.
I have a question for you. Do you think that if either one of these shooters had been barred access to violent video games, that anything with the outcome would have changed?
No.
I don't think so either. But I do think that if you had blocked his access, both their access to guns, that the outcome would have been
very different. Well, you can't shoot anybody if you don't have a gun.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And listen, I know I can hear people wanting to scream right now at their radios about how they feel I'm wrong. I don't blame you. I'm a gun owner. I get it. I understand. I understand guns, but I also understand responsible gun ownership, and that's what we need.
But I think that's important because as somebody that loves video games,
yes,
you have built your career off loving video games, and you also own guns.
Yes.
To my knowledge, you have not shot anyone.
I have not shot anyone. That
Why?
Is absolutely...
Because you play violent video games, Nate. Why hasn't this happened?
But listen, this is why Checkpoint XP and shows like ours are so important. Because listen, you know that you're going to be misrepresented when people who don't understand video games talk about this community. We've been raised in this community. This has been our life. For the entirety that I've been on this planet, video games have been my reality. And you know what? I hope that you'll trust us with being able to share in that passion for video games. But we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. And let us know what you think about the way that the media is currently talking about video games. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports and gaming news from Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and we'll get your responses to this week's social media question, which was, what is the worst mini game or side quest in all of video games? Stick around. Those conversations are ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk. Plus, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what the worst mini game or side quest ever is. Those conversations are still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
A new Resident Evil project is in the works. Capcom has reached out to fans of the series to test a new title in the Resident Evil franchise. While little is known about this new title, it must be fairly far along in development, as tests are being scheduled for September 8th and 9th. Whether it's another remake or a new entry, we're likely to find out more at Gamescom.
Nemesis Remake!
What do you guys think? Do you think that they're going on more of the remakes?
That's
or do
what
you think,
I would do.
Do you think we might see 8?
I would say they just did a remake. I'm going to bank on 8.
That's what I'm thinking.
Nope,
there was a few remakes that came out, and now, yeah, I think it's time for 8.
Nope, Nemesis.
It's been a while.
Built the engine. You built a new engine. Use it. Make the Nemesis remake.
They'll get to it.
but 8 first.
I would like it to be Resident Evil 8, but I'm also going to guess that it's going to be a Nemesis remake.
Just because
of the quick turnaround.
It's a totally even split. Two and two. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
In a major breach of security, E3's website accidentally leaked the personal information of thousands of gaming journalists and content creators. The leak occurred due to a security fault on their website, and while the issue has now been corrected, the damage has been done.
It's not good.
Thousands of journalists. And, you know, we talk about how, you know, a lot of journalists in the gaming sphere are targeted for their opinions.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
No, it's super terrible, and here's the biggest thing. We talked about is E3 going to be relevant moving forward? Well, if they get sued into the ground, E3 will not be a thing anymore.
Yeah, this is a bad look for, you know, an organization that has not had many good looks in the last couple of years. So let's get this figured out.
Yeah, I've been doxxed before. Never by a major company. That's new.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird feeling, isn't it?
FaZe Clan has launched a countersuit against Turner Tfue Tenney, a Fortnite star who sued them back in May. The countersuit claims Tfue is in violation of his contract by disparaging the team and trying to form a rival esports organization. FaZe claims that Tfue has made over $20 million between streaming and endorsements, of which almost none of it has been shared with FaZe Clan. They're seeking compensation for services and unspecified damages.
This is going to keep on getting more and more ugly until it gets better, man.
I don't know when it's going to get better. I think someone just needs to step in and separate these two parties, give them a little bit of money each to go their separate way.
Well, I think that's got to be the end result.
It's
going to go to the court.
Yes.
They're basically going to walk away with $20 million or something in that nature.
To be honest, I think, the lawyers are going to hash this out before it ever gets in front of a judge.
Let's hope so, because Tfue filed in California and FaZe Clan has filed in New York.
Well, Nate, to your point, one of them's in the right here.
Yeah.
And the one who's in the wrong, their lawyers are not letting this get to a judge, because if it gets to a judge, it's going to get real ugly real fast.
That's a great point.
Crunch time remains a hot-button topic in the game development industry. Obsidian Studios developer Brian Hines has spoken out against Crunch and similar abusive practices. He admits that his own studio has asked employees to work extra hours to meet a deadline, but that has also always been optional and never for more than a week or so.
I think that this is an interesting approach to it that Obsidian has gone. It seems a little bit more ethical to make it optional.
No, because even when it's optional, if you know that there are people who are doing the crunch and you're not, that's not a bad look on you.
Exactly.
When it comes to
there's still the pressure. Even if it is optional,
there's
a way that you go, it's optional, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, yeah,
no,
it's a culture at the company. And of course, we can't speak to the culture at Obsidian, but I do think that, you know, being able to say this looks good. What is the actual culture? Have no idea. We'd probably have to get an expose or a book written about it,
right?
But hopefully it is what Brian Hines is talking about.
And if he's speaking honestly, I do think there is a large difference. I do think that makes a difference. Saying the difference between, hey, yeah, we asked everyone to work 100 hours the week before deadline.
Yeah.
That's way different than months of crunch time before a game finally releases. Like, that is a big difference, especially if you're compensating for your overtime, and especially if you're only asking for it for a week, because if you go longer than that, that's when people burn out.
That's fair.
Google has announced their next Stadia Connect live stream. It'll be aired online on August 19th, one day before Gamescom is set to kick off. Whereas last time was all about showing off the technology, this live stream will be dedicated to showing off the games.
I am excited about this. I've been curious what Stadia's launch library is going to look like. That has been the main deciding factor on whether or not I'm going to end up investing in it as, you know, like a pre-launch item. This is going to be big. This is going to be the deciding factor on whether or not I'm there day one.
Yeah, I mean, I've already bought in on it. I was impressed with their tech showing of it. I was into the concept. And for those who don't know, I mean, Stadia obviously allows you to play games without having to buy the necessary hardware to play them on effectively. As an idea, it's really cool. A standard launch library is what, between 25 and 35 games? That's a pretty good size
launch
library.
Yeah, but I think Stadia has the ability to go go farther back in terms of a developer's catalog and bring, you know, games to the platform that people already love. So I think that that's got to be a big component here, too.
What kind of number would you like to see? Like, if
50.
50.
I was going to say, I hope it treats you better at launch than the PSVR has treated me since then.
Let me say, I expect 50 games, and I'm talking AAA, full games, and then if we're also talking indie games, 100.
I think that's pretty realistic at this point, actually.
GameStop has laid off over 50 of their employees, mostly regional supervisors and managers, in their continued reboot of the company. With their stock under $4, it's nearly the worst since the company went public back in 2002.
Listen, I think at this point, the writing is on the wall for GameStop.
Yeah, it's not
looking good. And at this point, I don't even know how they rebrand or repurpose the store at this point.
I don't know. Because what, I mean, the move that I would have said would have been the smart one, they've already done. And it doesn't seem to have helped.
The move, like, to shift towards esports focus?
Well, not just esports focus. I mean, there's that. That was
the
gaming recent. But just,
sports.
Yeah, the lifestyle, the tchotchkes, the, yeah. You know.
To their credit, I'm going into GameStop more often than I was.
You know what? I do, too.
But let me tell you, there's no way that somebody like Uniqlo should have got Street Fighter branded t-shirts before GameStop would have been able to have them.
That's also awesome. Fair.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP gaming news update. For more, head on over to our website, CheckpointXP.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. I know we just talked about Evo, but one of the big things we didn't get to touch on were all of the big game announcements. Norris, what got you the most hype?
Well, there's a lot of them, but unfortunately, one of the biggest ones I would have been hyped for was leaked onto Steam the day before Evo, which was a Street Fighter 5.
How does that happen? Steam! How does that happen? Valve, you guys understand the stage that Evo is. Like, why would... How?
It's ridiculous. It clearly somebody, you know, maybe it was supposed to release at a certain date and time, and unfortunately
and it was just
they bungled
too, yeah.
It was too early. So that was a big announcement. 3 new DLC characters everybody's going to be excited about.
E-Honda
is back. That means all the OG Street Fighter 2 characters are now back in Street Fighter 5, so people were super excited.
I am
about
very
that.
Excited about that.
I've been hearing people talking about Guilty Gear.
Yeah. Oh!
So,
Norris, this trailer for Guilty Gear.
I was never a Guilty Gear fan. You're going to have to explain to me
why
Guilty Gear is important.
Let me tell you guys. First of all, Guilty Gear is about one of the most technical fighters, 2D fighters that there is out there. However, Arc Systems makes their games beautiful, okay? The cell shading, hand-drawn graphics, everything in there, frame to frame, is probably the most gorgeous fighting game.
Let me even gives Dragon Ball FighterZ like a run.
No.
Also, an Arxis game.
Yeah, exactly. No, what they did is they took the same animation style and applied from Dragon Ball FighterZ and applied that to Guilty Gear, which is just another anime game.
Flip that. Because they were doing it in Guilty Gear before they
really
had the Dragon Ball.
See, I've been checked out of Guilty Gear for years.
Guilty Gear has always been a visually stunning game.
Right.
And this is, the way this trailer looks is how that game's going to be.
See, I always got that from, you know, like before the fights or after the fights, like not the actual combat. Mm-hmm. This looked like the actual combat that was way more cinematic.
Oh, yeah. So that's how that game's going to run.
So here's what I got to know. The worst kept secret in gaming has been made official.
Yes.
Riot is creating a new game.
Of course you'd want to know about this.
I need to know about this. Riot is making
a
fighting game, which I would not what I would have guessed.
Yeah, but here's the biggest thing. It is a terribly kept secret. Everybody knew that Riot was developing a second game. Nobody really knew kind of more than that, but they knew that it was a game coming. I think a fighting game for Riot is brilliant because they can either take one of two ways. First of all, if they're not leveraging the League of Legends brand, that's stupid.
That's crazy.
Do that.
You have the stable.
Don't do that. You have the stable. But I think what you do is if Riot comes out with a free-to-play fighting game, you purchase the characters that you want to use, you do that, do a free character rotation every now and then. Dude, they come in and dominate that space.
You can literally one-for-one the monetization in League of Legends over to this
skins,
new fighting game.
Totally. All
What type of fighting game are you expecting out of Riot?
I would love a versus style.
I would love a versus style game.
I want a 3v3
like
versus style.
Yeah.
Tag game.
Wow.
I mean, it's got to be that, or it's got to be a Smash Brothers type call.
See,
those are the only two styles.
That seems like that the other way
sense.
That you could go.
Well, Arxis was able to sort of replicate a versus style game, and so they were able to do it with Blaze Blue as well. That's easily replicatable. I'm not sure anybody else could do Smash better than Nintendo, or even just as good.
Yeah, that's a real good point. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. What announcement from Evo got you the most excited? Was it that Guilty Gear trailer? Was it the new characters coming to Street Fighter? Or is it Riot developing a fighting game? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check in with our social media followers and find out what the worst mini game or side quest ever is. And I definitely know which one I'm putting up for this week. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
Echo Fox really needs to stop breaking mirrors because they have the worst luck.
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Not Your Player 2, and Low Team Damage. Check it out at our website, CheckpointXP.com/shop. Now, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
Oh, my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
For the dive!
Oh, and another one! Oh, and a third! What is this?
Esports Gaming Update with Sarah Skopic.
You could be forgiven for thinking that Echo Fox's LCS slot is cursed. First, owner Rick Fox was forced to sell the team after the organization was not able to remove investor Amit Rezada within the 60-day deadline Riot set them. The new owners, Kroenke Sports and Entertainment, are now being sued by Sentinels Gaming CEO Robert Moore. Moore claims their purchase of the LCS slot violates a verbal agreement between the two organizations.
Yeah, this is... Wow.
So, yeah, for those who don't know, Sentinels Gaming runs Kroenke's Overwatch team. They run the Gladiator.
The Glads, yep.
And so what they're claiming is that by Kroenke Sports Entertainment buying an esports organization,
that should have gone through them.
It should have gone through them. They're the ones who are supposed to be running the esports wing of the company.
Or you should have had it written down on a cocktail napkin, man.
This is so wild. I can't believe that there has been yet another wrinkle to this entire drama. I end up feeling really bad for Rick Fox.
Let me offer an idea of maybe what happened here. They had 7 days to suddenly sell the organization, contacted Kroenke Sports Entertainment, who said, sure, we'll buy it, and they got the deal done overnight. That's what I'm guessing happened.
Genji has partnered with Bumble to create Team Bumble, an all-female pro Fortnite team. Genji's Kitty Plays, Maddie, Tina, Hannah, and Carly represent some of the best female players in the world and will form the team.
So that's really cool.
Sarah, as the woman in the room, how do you feel about this?
I'm pretty excited about this. As far as North American representation with having female in esports, this is to me really great, especially since it's a lot better than that other team that happened in, was it Russia?
Russia and the Russian League.
That was rough.
Let me tell you something. I love the idea of this and that it's happening. What I hate is the coverage of it so far, because every website I see covering it basically just says, oh my God, Team Bumble is being formed, and it doesn't go into any of the players or talking about them. It's just the sideshow of it.
And
it drives me nuts.
And that is what I'm hoping this will bring, but I also get kind of irritated by that, is how we don't talk about that there are pro Fortnite female players and how good they are and how they are worthy of names and being mentioned. So I'm hoping this promotes that, but that's a little frustrating. Most people consider esports to be relatively injury-free, but this isn't necessarily true. Team Liquid's mid-laner Jensen is currently suffering from intense wrist pains. Jensen brought a spark to Liquid when he joined the team from Cloud9 and has the second highest kills in the LCS among mid-laners. Fortunately, Team Liquid has the first round bye in the summer split playoffs this weekend, giving Jensen a little extra time to rest. Hopefully, he'll be back to 100% in time to compete.
Yeah, I mean, it's lucky for Team Liquid that they don't have to play for anything important this weekend, because Jensen Jensen really has been the spark on Team Liquid.
No,
I feel.
Totally. He's been one of the major reasons along with Core JJ as to why, a lot of people are looking at them to really step up when it comes to international play, too.
See, I really thought they'd be looking at back injuries from all the carrying they have to do.
They carry this whole region. You're right. I agree with that.
With 13 wins already under their belt and a guaranteed first-place finish in the LCS Summer Split regular season, Team Liquid didn't have much to play for when they met TSM on Sunday. This became obvious when the team locked in Nunu and Volibear, the popular Glacial comp. Popular in teamfight tactics, that is. After the game, Doublelift admitted they were pretty much trolling, but it didn't stop them from beating TSM and pushing their final record to 14-4.
Listen, wait, they trolled and then beat?
Yeah. Oh, not just beat.
TSM?
Not just beat. Oof. It wasn't even really close,
to be honest. It was close for like 15 minutes, and then it wasn't anymore. I'll say this. It was maybe the most entertaining game of League of Legends I've watched this season.
It was so fun.
It was an amazing match, and yeah, they were so obviously just trolling. It was brutal.
It was a wild weekend for Optic Gaming, who managed to secure their playoff spot. After losing to both CLG and Cloud9, they found themselves in a playoff match to stay alive against 100 Thieves. They handled 100 Thieves without much difficulty and then went on to smash Golden Guardians and lock up their playoff spot. As a result, 100 Thieves and Golden Guardians are going home.
100 Thieves. I was so hoping 100 Thieves was going to pull it out because it would have been... No, it was supposed to be the great story where they have the awful spring split and then they kind of get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. In the summer split and maybe make some noise there. It was supposed to be that story, and they fell just short. It was brutal.
Counterlogic Gaming, meanwhile, seemed bound and determined to ruin Joe's weekend. I saw it. It was bad. After defeating Optic Gaming on Saturday, they lost to 100 Thieves on Sunday, setting up a tiebreaker match with Cloud9. CLG came out flat and got crushed by Cloud9, giving Cloud9 the first round bye in playoffs. CLG will meet Optic on Sunday.
Yikes.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm not great.
Buddy, you okay?
Finally, I said something nice about CLG last week. I finally took the moment to say, you know what? I can't get on here and say something mean about them. That would be dishonest to the listeners.
That's why.
And you know what? I would have been right. I would have been absolutely right if I got here. It's all fake. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's swamp gas reflecting off the light from Venus. Whatever. It's all garbage. They played like trash, like they always do when it matters.
Says the man in the Team Liquid jersey.
Amen. And if I had a CLG jersey, I'd have brought it in and burned it. God.
Moving forward, it was a great weekend out at EVO. We'll be talking about it more later on in the show, but one thing we need to talk about is the viewership. While many were critical of Smash being the headline act, the final match of Smash Ultimate broke EVO's record for viewership, with over 270,000 people tuning in.
And it was worth tuning in for, by the way.
Totally. Everybody shut up about this. These eyeballs are bringing more people into the FGC.
Yep.
Continue to let this game grow.
Absolutely.
Overwatch League has been intense over the first few weeks of the fourth stage. Sunday night highlighted this when the Washington Justice swept the Vancouver Titans 4-0.
Wow.
Doing so meant that the New York Excelsior were the only team to have never been swept. That title didn't last very long, however, as the very next match saw the Excelsior lose 4-0 to the Chengdu Hunters.
Yikes.
Yeah, man, it was a crazy weekend, with this 2-2-2 rollout coming in and shifting away from GOATs now. It's now on these individual playmakers to really start turning the tides of these battles, and you can see that in the way that Corey's Hanzo just destroyed, or in the case of the Chengdu Hunters, Jinmu just went on a tear.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. I want to actually hang on this last story about Overwatch for a moment. Robbie and Norris, you guys were really against the idea of Rollock, but so far, the results seem pretty positive. What do you think about that?
And I do still stand by some of the reasons that we had brought up about why, what Rollock changes. However, if there's, I think, one aspect to it that we still have a while to see if it sort of pans out. But if Rollock can even the field in a way that going forward, we no longer see these huge, Brigitte, Goats, meta shift type comps, it's really done great in sort of leveling the playing field and kind of started to bring back a little bit more parity to the top and the bottom of the league.
I mean, I'm a little bit more skeptical. I think that remains to be seen.
Of course.
I think a meta eventually will suss itself out. But even in a 2-2-2, all it takes is for, you know, Blizzard to release a new character that completely busts everything that's been made.
Well, and but the thing is and this is the thing that doesn't sit quite right with me. And I understand your point to parity, bringing the top and the bottom in closer a little bit. But that's not exactly what happened. The bottom team upset a 4-0 sweep, the top team of the league. That statistically shouldn't happen. And I think a lot of people are going to be pointing towards Rolock as the reason why and the only reason
why. But this isn't the first time that it's happened. You also had the Los Angeles Valiant were the first team to defeat the Titans. You had the Houston Outlaws take down the Shock after their Golden Stage.
Sure.
So it's not like something like this is suddenly just happening out of the blue.
And for those wondering why this is a big deal, I mean, this is akin to the NFL saying no, the pro style offense is the only offense that will be allowed in the league.
Yes.
No more running, you know, no more going out of the shotgun or anything
right.
like
yeah.
that.
And, it seems counter to the spirit of competition and the league and making decisions for your team.
No, I agree. The thing is that I understand on its surface why they felt that they needed to make a change, but the meta already at this point was sussing itself out. Stage mm-hmm. 3 was one of the most exciting stages of Overwatch that anybody had watched ever. And so I really think with 2-2-2 coming in that, you know, people are excited. We're seeing a lot more heroes get played, so I'll give it that. But at the same time, give it a couple more weeks. The top teams will still be the top teams.
Sure.
The bottom teams may pick a win here or there, but they're still going to be the bottom
teams. Why does it take the hand of Blizzard coming in to be able to direct that momentum? Is that even fair?
See, now that's where I've always been with it. And it happened with the big Mercy changes last year.
Yep.
It happened with Brigitte. And now it's happening with 2-2-2. But the argument behind it is that now that the 2-2-2 is sort of locked in place and balancing is going
to
be easier,
we don't have to do it again.
That you won't see meta shifts on the same scale as often.
And that's my point. Is I think the largest benefit you see from something like this remains to be seen.
Yes.
And that is that when you have a locked in meta of 2-2-2, you can now balance champions or heroes as they come out or as they need balancing around that concept. It's a much easier thing to balance without throwing everything into chaos.
Goats,
that's what you saw.
Goats right. never would have became a thing had 2-2-2 been instituted when Brigitte came into the game.
Exactly.
Well, with the playoffs coming up here in just a few weeks and Sigma coming in, I think if we're going to see a big meta shift, it's going to be a tank or a support character that's going to shift it up. So that might be a good bellwether.
All right. Well, listen, we want to get your take on this. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And let us know whether you think 2-2-2 Rolock has made a huge difference in the OWL. And what kind of difference is that going to make when it comes to the regular game? Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what the worst minigame or side quest ever is in video games. I know the exact one that I'm going to talk about right off the top of my head. Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us over on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we followed up on our previous week's social media question, asking you what the best mini gamer side quest is. And this week, we ask you what the worst mini gamer side quest is. And I know exactly what the worst is of all time, off
really?
The top of my head.
Oh, okay,
you don't even need. I don't even need to think about this for even a half a second.
Oh, wow.
It is clearly the helicopter mini game from Grand Theft Auto Vice City. That is the worst. The worst. I have never been so frustrated with anything in my life.
Helicopter controls, I want to say 99% of the time, are horrendous.
No, usually they're pretty bad, but I don't think that's
they
the
were
word.
Especially bad for Vice City.
No, I know.
And you had to go up like stairwells and through uh-huh. like a building that was under construction. There were so many things that could destroy your helicopter, and you had to go all the way to the top to be able to finish it. I hated that mission.
Do you know
so much?
Do you know that in speedruns they skip that mission because it's so unreliable to control through?
Yeah. I totally believe it. I 100% believe it.
Wow, Nate, you really got the juices flowing on that one, because yeah, that is a horrible match.
It's the worst.
I'm gonna go ahead and call out my favorite game, Final Fantasy IX, for the Magnet Central side quest, which persists through the entire game.
Okay,
I forgot about
Magnet's
this.
Pretty bad.
Adds really nothing to the game, and if you miss, I think, four or more letters, then you're out of luck. You can't complete and if you do complete it, the reward you get is something you've probably already have a handful of anyway, and is a useless item even the first time you get it.
And that's the sort of mode that I'm on. I hate more than just a mini game. I hate a concept. I hate collectibles. I hate any collectible. I hate secret packages. I hate hidden feathers. I hate all
of
them.
How big of a fan were you of the concept in the latest Zelda game where you had to go around
Kaporo nuts or whatever they were?
Kaporo nuts, yeah. And you basically had to find piles of
stupid.
Poop.
Stupid.
Let me tell you something. I like collectibles if the game's built around it. Like, if you take a game like Banjo-Kazooie, it was built all around collecting.
Yeah, guess what? You can't progress in the game without the collectibles.
Right.
That's a mechanic.
You're talking about
collectibles for collectibles' sake, just to get you a little bling bling in the corner and say you got a freaking achievement.
So if it adds to lore or something like that, like, as you know, pick them up, you get, you know, cool little snippets.
Yes.
That's fine.
Because Assassin's Creed 2 had the little graffiti collectibles where if you unlocked them, you got like cool mini games and a little cinematic if you collected them all. That is cool, but just collecting some crap, stupid. I hate it.
Robbie, I actually wanted to mention something on your Magnet Central one. My first playthrough of that game, I got stuck because I had a letter I could no longer deliver.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. Atla to Monev, once Clara's destroyed, you're just SOL if you forgot to do that.
That's right.
I will forever hold a grudge against that side quest because of that.
Well, what about you, Joe?
So, my least favorite, it comes courtesy of Final Fantasy X.
Ooh.
And if I ever have to play another game of Blitzball in my entire life.
Didn't you
Wait. Yo.
Robbie, didn't you say that was one of your favorite side quests?
Yes. One of the best. What are you talking about?
Hold on. In a game that makes you dodge lightning 200 times or ride a chocobo where you have to hope for the random combination of hitting enough balloons and dodging enough seagulls to get a zero time record, you're going to say that Blitzball is the worst. I will fight you.
Purely because.
I will fight you right now.
The one that you have to get the ultimate weapon off of, if it doesn't show up in that season long, you have to go play through the entire season.
There's nothing. The seasons are great.
No,
why
they're
don't you
not.
Want to play Blitzball?
The first game is great when it's still hard, and then as soon as you have a decent team, you may as well just put the controller down for five minutes.
Listen, Blitzball is great.
Even on fast forward, the timer doesn't go down any faster. You still have to wait the entire game.
Listen, Joe, you're allowed to be wrong. That's one of the things that is great about this show. By the way, you're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're going through our social media question this week. We ask you what the worst side quest or mini game in any video game is. Before we get to your responses, though, we've got to ask Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, what is the worst mini game or side quest?
This was certainly the side quest that made me the most angry. And if I have to find another Turian insignia from Mass Effect 1, that would be... So here's the problem.
Collectibles.
So yeah. Those things... So it was like Turian insignias, Prothean data disks, and Asari writing. And here's the problem. I had played Mass Effect 1. I was finishing up right when Mass Effect 2 was announced. And we were told that our save and our information was going to port over. So I had my brother over my shoulder saying, you better get all those collectibles because it's going to be important.
Matter.
It's all going to matter. And you know what? It didn't.
It didn't matter at all.
Sure didn't. All right, let's take a look at some of the responses that we had coming in over social media.
We have Kim on Facebook who also references Final Fantasy IX, who talks about the jump rope. It's literally impossible. I've never met a person who could beat
it. Here's the thing about
never
the jump
rope. Never got
more
than 200.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. Everyone says it's either impossible and they can't get more than
or
two,
super easy.
Or it's super easy. Yeah. There's something about it that you either natively understand or you don't. I can't get more than two.
Didn't they say the same thing for years about the Noble's approval?
No, you can only get 99.
You can only get 99?
I've gotten 100.
Nope, nope. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've gotten 100.
This year, they got 100 on the first try.
We have Jake who talks about Oblivion and says the entirety of the Mages Guild.
You know what? I didn't do it. I didn't do the Mages Guild.
You know what? There was only one guild worth playing in Oblivion. And
Thieves,
it was
Thieves
Guild.
Why is the Thieves Guild always the best storyline?
Because you get to steal stuff. Of course. It's awesome.
Particularly for Oblivion.
The thing, though, is that the Brotherhood was not as good in Oblivion as it was in Skyrim.
True that.
That's true.
Hail Sith.
We have Blake who says that he loved Breath of the Wild, but that shrine quest where you have to follow that Kurok through the woods without being detected was annoying.
Okay, that one I don't know. I'm still very early on in Breath of the Wild.
Let's just tag Jeffrey onto the end of that. Any escort quest.
Oh, period. Yeah.
He specifically says, especially when your walking pace is too slow, but your running pace is too fast.
Oh, yeah, that is the worst. That is the worst. You get a lot of that in Fallout 4, by the way. Oh, yeah.
The only game that ever did it right was Resident Evil 4. That's the only game. And that's the whole game's an escort quest. And I wasn't upset about it.
So. Or The Last of Us. You could say the same thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, at least useful.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Sal who says smashing the O button in Metal Gear Solid to survive the electric chair when they capture you.
Oh, yeah. That was
okay.
I mean, any of the torture sequences in any of the Metal Gear games.
Objectively whack.
Really?
Objectively whack. I mean, mechanically amazing from a storytelling point of view.
The worst one was 4, though, in the hallway that you're crawling through. That was excruciating. All right. Let's get a few more in here.
We have Majoga who says, just simply, the ones with no reward.
Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Collectibles! If you're going to make me do something dumb, you better give me something cool.
All right. One more.
Back on Facebook, we have Samantha who says, simply, find the key. All keys should just die in a fire.
I mean... Water Temple and Ocarina of Time, anybody?
Yeah,
anytime you have to get keys, it's awful.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there, but make sure you follow us on social media so that you can make your voice heard for next week and every week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles, and the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. Make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station, like WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, or ESPN Phoenix 620, and remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and, of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.